and said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." You know, there's a lot in that. In each one of these verses, we could spend years cross-referencing and building the story. You know, in the beginning, he created the world. It said the Word was with him in the beginning, and that he helped make this world. He spoke this world into existence. So when Christ says, "Behold, I make all things new," he speaks with ultimate authority in creation. But we're not going to talk today about the making of New Jerusalem, the new heaven and new earth. That's not what we're going to spend our time this morning on. You know, the Old Testament and the New Testament, we put names on those for reasons. It's to help us recognize a time of remembrance and what's ahead, to separate the two. You know, if we were to summarize the Old Testament, its basic premise is, do these things to live. It's built on showing what's good for us, what's bad for us, what we should avoid. We have the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. We have story after story, account after account of kings and heroes and rebels and what they needed to do to live. But the New Testament's different. The New Testament isn't do these things to live. The New Testament is live and do these things. See, Christ came to give us life and life abundantly. We don't have to do these things to live anymore. We live to do things because he's given us life. If you turn with me to Mark 2:22. You see, that whole premise of old and new, it applies also to us. And when Christ sat down with the Pharisees and he sat down with his disciples, he talked with them about many things. And they would ask him about the way that he and his group of disciples went about things. They didn't fast like everyone else. They didn't do things like the old ways. They were kind of visionaries. They were kind of rebels. Even the group of them wasn't what you'd expect for what the high priest would gather to himself, from fishermen to lawyers, tax collectors, physicians. And he'd sit down with the Pharisees and the disciples, and he would talk to them in parables. And one of these parables he has here in Mark, Mark 2:22, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." You know, I look back to my life before Christ. That life couldn't hold the blessings that he gives us. There wasn't room for it. You know, I look back and in just this last year,
He gave us an opportunity to take in a boy for a few months whose parents didn't want him. He gave us the opportunity every week to feed a young man that can't get meals. But he knows our door's open to him. And he visits us at least twice a week. He gave me an opportunity at work for someone I never even met face to face to get a hold of me and talk about his cousin who tried to kill herself that weekend. On the way to a Christmas party I was late for, he provided two couples, or a young couple that ran out of gas. My old life wouldn't have room for that stuff. These blessings that he's got for us, we don't have space for him in our lives. Unless we become new wineskins. If we think we can hold on to what we are and what we do and serve Christ at the same time, we're wrong. We've got to be willing to want to change ourselves. We've got to be willing to ask for that. It won't fit in our old lives. You can try. Try as long as you can, but it'll rip you apart. We need to be a new wineskin so that we can grow, so that we can expand. You know, just like the fruit juice that they would put in the wineskins, it would ferment, especially there at the beginning, and it would give off gases as it sat there. And if that wineskin had already been stretched as far as it could, if it was an old wineskin, it had no room to grow. And it would tear apart. But a fresh wineskin, just like a balloon when you blow it up for the first time, it expands. Blow a balloon up, let the air out. Blow a balloon up, let the air out. Blow a balloon up, let the air out, and it'll burst. It can't take it. But that first time, when it's new, Christ says he will make all things new. He'll do it for us too. We're to look forward to this. You know, as we get to the end of the year, we look forward to the next year. If we even go back to Isaiah 43. In verse 18. We want to go back. We want to remember everything that happened so bad. It defines us, right? What we did? But should it? Christ tells us through his word in Isaiah 43:18, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Christ is telling us, yeah, we can spend our time looking at everything that we've done. We could do that, but we shouldn't. Because it stops us from thinking about what we're going to do.
We're building a new church. If we build a new church and we move into it and it's exactly like this, we failed. We failed. Because he's given us a new wineskin. He has new things for us. A cemetery stays the same. We don't want to build a mausoleum for dead people. We need to build something for the living so we can live and do. You got a glimpse last Sunday of something new. Really didn't have anything to do with inside of this building. You know, some people see church as a quiet place I can go. Okay, I'll give them that. Where I can see my friends. We can talk about what God's done in our life. Okay, I'll give them that. That's a community hall. Right? Some people see church as a place to praise the Lord and sing. Okay. I'll give them that. It's a shame if we praise the Lord only in a building. He made all these wonderful things outside. I mean, the rocks want to sing his praises. The creeks, the streams, the crashing waves all cry out his glory. Nature itself screams it. And so does the young child. It's okay. It's all right. So does the young child. It doesn't need four walls for that. It's a place to learn the word, to dig into it deep and study it. I'll give you that. But if this is the only place you're studying the Word, 35 to 40 minutes, depending on how long I talk a day, on a Sunday, just like if that was the only time you ate all week, you'd be starving. So what is it? What really is a church to be? You know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul spoke a lot about the church. He went from church to church. He didn't talk once about a building. He talked about people. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You see, yes, we're getting an opportunity to have a new building. And do we need one? Yeah, this one will fall down one day. But we need to be different when we move in. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then,
We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. No, we're not building a mausoleum. We're not building a school. We're not building a community center. We're not building a concert hall. We're building an embassy. That's what we're building. You see, once we accepted Jesus Christ, we are strangers in a foreign land. And we need an embassy. Because we're ambassadors. We go out to the public, to the lost and the broken. And we present Christ to them. And just like an embassy for any country, if someone wants to seek us out, they know where to find us. But the ambassadors just don't stay in the embassy. They use it as a home base to go out from. First James. Verse 27. You know, this verse, it's one of those verses where there's a literal meaning and there's a spiritual meaning to it. Now, I'm sure you're all acquainted with the literal meaning to it. Literally, it reads, James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, the literal view of this is, our job is to go to the afflicted where they are afflicted, in their affliction, to the orphans and the widows. You got a sampling of that last week. We went and we visited them. We didn't just let our faith be words, but they were works. Now that's a literal interpretation of this. The orphans and the widows, those that aren't able to care for all of their own needs. And they need help. They do. But there's a spiritual meaning to this. You see, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's not your Father. You're an orphan. The church is the bride of Christ. You haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you aren't part of the church. You're a groomless bride. You're a widow. You see, there's a double meaning to all of these verses. That's the spiritual side of that. We're to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction. Those that don't have God as their Father. Those that don't have Christ as their groom. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1. We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You see, as we visit the orphans and the widows, the lost, those that don't have God as the Father, that don't have Christ as their groom, we're to plead with them. We're ambassadors. receive the grace of God. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You might have ideas of what we're going to do in 5 months. Oh, when we have a new building. But why? Why wait? Why? We've got an opportunity. It's here now. If we're not faithful with those chances he gives us each and every day, and he gives us a chance each and every day to be an ambassador, if we're not faithful now, don't fool yourself. We won't be faithful in 5 months when we have a shiny new building. We'll just look pretty doing it. We need to be new. We need to be made new. Whatever time that we've got here in this building, let's do new things in it. Let's glorify God so much that this building can't take it. That this old wineskin gets ripped apart with just how much he wants to bless this community. So that it can't hold it anymore. So we only have the choice of going to a new wineskin. The Holy Spirit works across to all of us. When Jesus Christ enters your life, moves into your heart, he talks with you. There's no monopoly on that for pastors and priests. Each and every one of you, he talks to. Each and every one of you is just as much of an ambassador as I am. When you think ahead to how things are going to be, when we have that other building, and God puts on your heart what he wants you to do, does any of it really have to wait? Now's an acceptable time. Now's the day of salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for pushing us outside of our comfort zone into new things. Cause us to stretch. God, drive us to ask you to make things new in our lives. Our old lives can't fit your blessings in them.
Give us new hearts, Lord, that can hold how much love you want to share. Give us a new outlook, a new way to see. Not to see potential people to fill the seats, but to see orphans and widows, not just physically, but spiritually, that need you. Make us ambassadors, Lord. Teach us how to plead. To beg. Heavenly Father, we ask these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.